This is Focus
with Cassie McCullough
on ABC Radio Sydney.
Hello, good to be with you on ABC Radio Sydney. I hope your day's going well. We've heard, I've heard of the Smith Family, the charity that does things for children. In fact, this year the ABC's chosen to partner with them for the Christmas appeal. But how did it start? What's the story? And who were the Smith Family? We'll find out on Focus.
This is Focus
with Cassie McCullough
on ABC Radio Sydney.
Well, what do you know about the Smith Family? We've all heard the name. You might know that it's a charity with a particular focus on children and their education. You might actually know a lot about the Smith Family because you or your family have been helped by them at some point over the years. But how did it start? What's the history and who were the original Smith Family? This year the ABC's chosen to partner with them for their Christmas appeal for many reasons, but particularly because of the disruption in schooling for so many kids. So you're going to be hearing a lot about the Smith Family over the next little while. So let's get the story. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Ben Watkinson, who is the company secretary. Hello, Ben.
Cassie.
And also Tony Thomas, who is one of the volunteers that does important work with the Smith Family. Great to have you along too, Tony.
Hi.
Now, Ben, you have been with the Smith Family for 44 years. What an incredible length of service. How did you get into it?
I joined the Smith Family as a management cadet back in 1976. I guess my involvement had been encouraged through family connections. My father was involved with the Smith Family back from 1950s onwards as part of his role in one of our media companies that used to support the Smith Family's Christmas appeal every year. He later joined the staff of the Smith Family as well.
So he was working with a company and they were involved with the Smith Family, and this is how he kind of learned what the charity did. Who was he working for?
He was working for Australian Consolidated Press, which at the time owned the Daily and Sunday Telegraphs. And those papers used to support our Christmas appeal with welfare stories from clients. They used to interview families we were helping and generally promote the appeal. So it was a really important source of our income at the, over those period in the 50s and 60s.
Those drives and getting the message out was key. And so your dad came on board and eventually you began working there. So it was your first, you say, job with prospects.
Yes.
As you, that's how you describe it. What were you doing?
Well, the first thing I did when I started was actually working on organising the packing of Christmas hampers and the delivery of them to several thousand homes in Sydney, which used to occur every year. That was a link back to the very start of the organisation. We'd always had Christmas activity right from 1922 onwards, and it was a fantastic way of engaging our supporters directly with the people we were helping and giving them an opportunity to see just how what they were contributing was helping.
What was in the hampers?
It was an attempt to provide a Christmas dinner. So there would be a tin of ham and a Christmas cake and a plum pudding and various other things, sweets, soft drinks, custard, just enough to put together a spread for Christmas Day.
Yeah, and no doubt received with open arms.
Yes.
And what were the kind of suburbs back then where you were particularly delivering the hampers to?
In Sydney, it was a lot of inner Sydney, Waterloo area, the Department of Housing areas of Sydney closer into the city. As we opened new offices in western and southwestern Sydney, the spread became much further and we extended out to Penrith and Campbelltown and even up into the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, some of the geography of disadvantage in Sydney has changed over the decades, and I guess that's part of what you've seen in this time that you've been with the family. Okay, now there has been a lot of change with the way the thinking behind it, but let's just get to the mystery of who the Smith Family were. Now, were they some some sort of wealthy industrialists with a lot of money to give away, or what's the story?
No, they were the story is that there were a group of five businessmen had got together before Christmas in 1922 to talk among themselves about the extent of poverty in Sydney at that time. There was some scepticism, I think, on the part of one or two of them that there was really a serious problem, where others thought there was a problem. So they did some research and concluded that, yes, there was something they could do. They started small by delivering toys for 40 boys at Carlingford Boys Home on Christmas Eve of that year. And it grew from there. So by the following year, there were about 60 members of the group by then, and they did deliveries to 12 orphanages in Sydney. And by 1927, it was up to 30. and we started more formally as an organisation in 1935 when it was incorporated. And one of the things in the constitution then was a vision that it would become a national organisation. Took us 65 years to get there by the end of the century, but ultimately we got there.
Well, from little things, big things grow.
Yeah.
And so the Smith part of it was actually just a name chosen.
It was a name. It was the most common name in the phone book, we think.
Mm-hmm.
And when the men were asked who the boys should be thanking, they said, well, just call us Smiths. We're the Smith family. And anonymity has been something at the forefront for supporters ever since.
Well, that gave me goosebumps to hear that. Yeah, real altruism without requiring recognition.
Yes, and titles of people were used over the years, not names that were attributed. So we talked about President Smith and Secretary Smith and Treasurer Smith, not ascribing the names to them, although people filled those roles all through the development of the organisation.
And is it secular or religious? Does it have a sort of a tenet at the heart of the organisation?
It is secular, a secular organisation, and its focus, its mission is to bring better lives to kids through promoting their educational opportunities.
Mm-hmm. We're talking here with Ben Watkinson, who is from the Smith Family Organisation. He's been with them for 44 years, starting in the 70s, and he's now the company secretary, which he's been since 1995. And also with us is Tony Thomas, who's one of the Learning Club volunteers. Tony, what about you? How did you come to be wrapped up with the Smith family?
Well, I belong to View Clubs of Australia, which is part of the Smith family. We're a value part of the Smith family. And George Forbes, in 1960, General Secretary of the Smith family, had a vision that women needed more voice. So he started View Club of Australia in 1960. So we're 60 years old this year. So we meet.
What does VIEW? It's an acronym, isn't it?
Yes. VIEW stands for Voice, Interest and Education of Women. So we're a women's organisation and we have over 15,000 members Australia-wide, and we have about 320 clubs Australia and in territories.
And these are learning clubs.
Yes. Now, mm-hmm. we have learning clubs, and being part of VIEW Club, that's what I do as a volunteer. I volunteer at a learning club. And what we do after school, the children come in and we take them through homework. We do little science experiments with them. But it's more like a social thing, because a lot of these disadvantaged children on the Smith Family program, our Learning for Life program, they come from disadvantaged families, and some of the families have really struggled. And these children now, because of the Smith family, are getting an education. And as View Club, we're very, very proud, because in 60 years we've raised over $40 million that goes to the Smith family for these programs.
Amazing.
Yes.
So really what you're creating is a safe space to go after school with the benefit of also educational help, and assistance with homework.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I started 7 years ago at a school, and at first the children, you could see they were wary of us, older ladies coming in, you know, what are they doing? And now we've got a rapport with these children. And the thing is, they've become more social. They are more, with their studies and with school, they've realised that this is important, and the Smith family has been able to provide this for them. And the change in these children is just, in 7 years, I've known some of these children from kindergarten, and it's just amazing the change. By volunteers going in and giving up their time, these children, they become much more social, much more engaged with their education.
It sounds incredibly rewarding. I wonder if you've been in contact with the Smith family over the years in some capacity, particularly if they've helped you out. I'd be interested to hear what that was like and what you know, your experience has been. Margaret is on the line, 1300 222 702. You might want to jump on the phone too. Margaret is you're a member, Margaret, of View Club.
Yes, I'm a member of View Club and have been since 1987, when I retired from a very busy work life. When I retired, I was looking around for helping in a voluntary capacity in some area where I lived, and they were starting up another View Club, because once they get to 60 in one club, they start another club.
Ah, okay.
So they were starting up a new one, and I thought, well, I knew a fair bit about the Smith family, and I thought, well, that'll be me. I'll go, if I'm going to spend some of my money, I would like it to go towards people who are disadvantaged. And so, as Tony just said, the View Club started in 1960 originally, and originally it was to help the disadvantaged families, but then in 1990s they started the Learning for Life, which is what Tony is involved in, and I mean all View Clubs are now, because we have two or three students that we support through our club, and I think each club does the same thing. They designate that they will support so many, and then we get feedback from the children, which is very rewarding, because we know exactly what they're up to and what they're doing. So it's from kindergarten, as Tony said, all the way through high school, and so it's been a very rewarding.
Yeah, you can really see the outcome of all that work. Look, thank you, Margaret. Thank you for that. I'm sure there are many people who are both been volunteers and recipients of this work. So back to you, Ben Watkinson. I'm fascinated by this philosophical change that the charity had in the 90s that we've mentioned already. Now, it was a shift from welfare to education, but importantly, the shift was made because of an evidence-based investigation. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, in 1987, in response to growing concerns among staff and others in the community about the spread of intergenerational poverty, we were starting to see grandchildren of people we had seen back in the 20s and 30s, I guess, still coming in for assistance, and the growing realisation that while we were providing help in an immediate sense, we weren't necessarily solving the problem for a lot of people. And we implemented a range of focus groups with client families to talk to them about what they perceived was needed that would really help them. And a consistent theme from those conversations was about doing something to help with education, because education expenses were among the hardest ones to meet, because they tended to come in big chunks at certain times of the year, and saving for them is hard and so on. So decision was taken at that point to pilot a scholarship program with 60 students in Sydney in year 10. And that pilot ran for a couple of years, extremely well received, evidence of improved school performance, and those that was enough encouragement to us to make it into a mainstream program of the Smith family. So when it kicked off properly in 1991, we had 500 sponsors as our target, and we achieved that. So we had 500 children on the program, each sponsored by a member of the public. And that's got to the point now where we have more than 57,000 students being sponsored.
Wow. That's amazing. So what you discovered was that while the welfare aspect was well-intentioned and it was a meeting an urgent need, that to break that cycle and to allow people to make a step out of poverty or out of disadvantage, you had to change what you were doing. And
yes.
And this was the big change in thinking.
Yes.
It's an extraordinary story because how many organisations do that, change course like you have?
Yes, and it took time. It was a 20-year process to go from a welfare focus to an education focus entirely, but it was important to transition out of the welfare side of what we were doing by ensuring that there were others in the community still able to deal with those issues. So that what we were offering was something new and a value add rather than replicating what others were doing.
Now, how do kids become part of the Learning for Life program? Like, how do they actually get to be nominated, I suppose?
In the main, they're referred to us by partner schools. We have close contacts with around 700 schools around Australia in low SES areas, and generally speaking, the children are, or their families are referred by the schools, and we then work with the families to get them onto the program, talk to them about the sorts of things we can offer, which is partially financial but partially access to other programs, literacy programs, and so on, learning clubs, as we've just been talking about, after school. And so on, so that...
So that referral through the school seems to be a real strength as well, because you've already got someone who's been watching a child, knows the story, thinks, this could be a kid who would really benefit from a bit more.
Yes, and indeed a number of our staff are actually work from school sites around the country. Quite a few of our officers are in schools.
Actually, on the campus. I bet the teachers just love you.
Well, we like to think so.
I bet they're so pleased to have some way of making that change in life. Well, let's meet somebody who knows about this from the other side, and that is a woman who is with us online. Her name is Kiara. Hello, Kiara.
Hello.
Now, you're the mum of two boys, and they are in this program. Tell us about how you came to be involved with it.
So I was in a very sort of bad predicament. I couldn't, afford much. I was buying, secondhand clothing, and we had a lovely woman from the school who actually put us forward through it. Sadly, she passed away recently, but... yeah, she put us forward and thought that we would be a good candidate to be there for Aidan. So, and my son, Bailey.
Mm-hmm. So, Aidan and Bailey. And Aidan is 15 and in year 10. And I'm delighted to say, actually, he is on the line too. Hello, Aidan. How are you?
Hello.
You can just hear you, Aidan. Tell us what it's been like to be part of the learning club.
It's been good. It's like I was able to get a good start on life, with it, and it was able to put me back on track to get a better schooling, to be able to go for my dreams.
Hey, just move your phone a little bit, Aidan, because we're having trouble hearing. You're very quiet. So, yeah. So what was it like when you walked in the first time and there's these lovely ladies there who wanted to help you out? What was it like?
It was kind of nervous because I've been through bullying. So, and it was, kind of nervous to go in, meet new people. Do all that.
Yeah, but I guess you got used to it, and so it became a place that you just head to after school.
Yeah.
And so what are you thinking about doing? You've been with the organisation for a while now. What are you thinking about doing after school? You're in year 10, you've got a couple of years to go.
I want to set up a culinary school for Aboriginal kids.
A culinary school, like a cooking school?
Yeah.
Ah, right. And are you into cooking?
Yeah.
And would the, you say for Indigenous kids, is that like because you're cooking Indigenous food, or you see a need in other Aboriginal kids to learn to cook?
Because I'm Indigenous myself, so like I found it difficult in school from being Indigenous to learn about, you know, my culture. And I know as soon as I started cooking, I found it an opening to, like, school. And I found it very engaging, opening to my culture.
Mm. Wow. Well, I wish you all the best with that. That sounds... and like a really great path to be taking. Thank you for talking with us. Kiara, you must be so proud.
Yes, I am. Like, he's come from a child that was in a very dark place. He didn't know where to go, but he's been given so many grateful opportunities to, he went into like a little shell and he's come out as a butterfly. Like, you know, he... those true ads that you see with the Smith family, where you see that poor kid not having the matching uniform, looking very sad.
Yeah, going to school with
that's
a plastic bag.
Yep. And that was Aiden.
Right.
So now he stands tall and he knows his goals. He wants to be a Learning for Life sponsor when he turns 18.
Wow.
He's so grateful for everything he's been able to have.
Amazing, amazing transformation. And you've also got another son, Bailey, who's also in this program. So two big success stories for you in being in contact with this.
Yes, yes, it's been great. Bailey being younger when he started the programming, he gave him a better opportunity. So he hasn't had to see as bad as the struggles because he wasn't as old as Aiden. So he was ready, like he's got an easier start. So my boys will be my first children in our family to actually graduate high school.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is a major achievement for Aiden, and Bailey. So both of our kids, it's a huge achievement
huge.
For them.
Yeah, just amazing. Wow. Thank you for telling us that story, Kiara. You've really brought home what it's meaning for you and therefore for other people right around the country. Thank you so much for that. I'll just read you some of the messages on our text line here. The Smith family is a great organisation. I have two children who I sponsor with education. I'm confident that the majority of my donations reach the children and are used in the best interests of them. I am sure it makes a difference in their lives. What a great Christmas gift. That's from Deb. And my husband and I have a three-year-old but also decided to sponsor a child through the Smith family. I love hearing about a positive experience that their programs are. It warms our heart to hear from our sponsored child, and I really hope she's reaping these benefits. That's from Lee on the Central Coast, and a lot of other messages like that. Okay, you've sold me, Ben and Tony. What do we do? How do we be part of this?
Well, with the partnership with ABC Radio, which will be kicking off very soon, you can donate via thesmithfamily.com.au /ABC appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to donate online.
Mm-hmm.
Funds donated will be going to our toy and book appeal and also into program delivery in 2021. Options are there to sponsor a child.
So you can do that as one of the options. You can say, I want to follow one child's education and you can sponsor that way, but there are different options.
Yeah, that's a donation option and people are asked to sign up for $52 a month,
uh-huh.
and which is around $1.70 a day. And become part of the program.
Wow,
yeah.
Amazing. And Tony, I guess you would say that volunteering is its own reward.
Volunteering is the best thing I've ever done. It doesn't matter how you feel. You go into that school of an afternoon, you see those children, you see the improvement, and they run up to you, they're happy to see you. And I say to people, volunteer, because out of all the things I've done, I think volunteering is the thing that has given me so much joy. And to go to the Smith family graduations and see these children coming out the other end and speaking to mothers, it is wonderful. Cute.
Look, here's someone saying, hi, the Smith family changed my life. I'm 65 years old now. When I was 15, they helped me stay at school by providing food hampers so I didn't have to leave school to work. I then went to university and have led a very middle-class life. Well, there you go. One story, just one of the many that you have been part of. Thank you so much for talking with us, and we'll be hearing more and we'll know a little bit more about the organisation now. Good to talk to you. Ben Watkinson from the Smith family and Tony Thomas, one of their volunteers. Yeah, how about that, eh? Something to make you feel good about in this wretched old year.